Praise God. If you have your Bibles with me, would you turn to the book of Ephesians, please? It's no guess that that's where we're going. We're going to be studying through the book of Ephesians in the next few weeks. I believe I got everything announced and shared that we needed to do. Very good. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. A couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I guess, I shared with you some of my goals for 2008. How many have some goals for 2008? Do you have a few goals? I asked that 2 weeks ago, and many more of you raised your hands. Have you abandoned your goals? How many have a goal for 2008? You have some goals. Okay, there we go. I don't want you to get discouraged and abandon them in just the 3 weeks that we've into 2008. But I took the risk of sharing them with the congregation, so now the congregation is going to keep me accountable for those, right? Is that right? You are, kind of? Yes, okay. And one of my goals this year, I had 6 different categories, which is just like me to have too many of everything, you know, to over-prepare. 6 different categories, and under each category I had 4 different goals, a total of 24 goals that I have for 2008. That's 2 a month, you know. If I can just work on 2 a month, I'll be okay. But I'm working on all of them at the same time, and one of them was to memorize a book of the Bible. How many remember that? Do you remember that? How many adopted that as a goal as well, to memorize the book of the Bible? Raise your hands, please. God bless you. For you who raise your hands, I have a check for $1,000 after church for being willing to do that. So Jim's coming up. No, just it's not any good. I just said it's a check. It's not good, but it's but you can have that. No, how many again are just nobody has going to memorize? How many are going to memorize something? Okay, hallelujah. I mean, your phone number. Well, you memorize your phone number. Okay, my phone number. You already have memorized. You're going to memorize not a book. How many are going to memorize a chapter? A chapter, okay, or at least something. You're going to commit to memory Scripture, right? It's one of your goals. I'm asking you as your pastor to commit to memory some Scripture this year and meditate on it. So I chose the book of Ephesians because that's what we're teaching through. I don't know if I'll be able to recite these first few verses. Steve put those verses up there that we're going to study today. But we'll see whether or not you can see how I do. I'll try not to peek it here and see if I do. Blessed, we're going to look at this, and this is our text for today, okay? So there it is right there. So that's what we're going to be studying, meditating on. I just have a few things to share. I won't keep you late, I don't believe, so we'll go through it. But we're going to do our Scripture, and as we read along, I'm going to try to recite it rather than just read it. So we'll see how I do, okay? Everyone is looking at me nervously, wondering if I'll make it. I don't know if I'll make it or not, but we'll see. I definitely can make it through the first verse. Blessed be, if you're memorizing this with me, then you can recite it as well, right? You just have to close your eyes, but you all say, yeah, I've got it down as you're staring up at the screen, okay. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Is that am I right so far? Who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Him, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons in Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure, right, of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Is that right? Well, there you go. See how easy that is? You can do that too. Whew. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. If you notice, the older your brain gets, you know, when they were showing that film, how many noticed that brain? I wondered if that was mine, if that wasn't my brain. Okay. The older your brain gets, the harder it is. I want to just take us through. We're going on a stroll through Ephesians. And so this section of Scripture, down through verse 14, and actually what I'm doing, and I thought I'd offer this to you, and I see there's only 4 people now who are going to take me up on it, but if the book that you want to memorize, how many would like to memorize part of Ephesians? Would you raise your hand with me? Would you like me to teach you how to memorize so you can actually commit things to memory in a very easy way? How many would like that? Okay. Then what I'm going to do, if you're interested, what I've done for myself is I've printed out some memory cards for this book. And I will prepare a set of memory cards for every person who would like them, and we can do this together. How many people would like a set of those cards? Okay, next week I'll have them. I'll hand them out, and for those who would like, I'm going to tell you, I'll share with you how to commit to memory Scripture so easily that it'll blow your mind, how that you can do it. And it's very easy to do. I always find if I have a method, if I have a plan, if I have a way of doing it, then I can get something done. If I just say I'm going to do it and I have no idea how I'm going to get there, you know, well then forget that. By the way, one of my goals for this year on a personal level, on a recreational level, you know, I had spiritual health and relational health and all the kind of family health that I want to have. And one of them was recreational health. And one of my goals for recreational health was to have no three putts. And I have to admit to you that that's now my goal for the next 11 months. Because this month is already history. I played golf while I was down in Palm Springs, and I had a whole lot of three putts, I'm afraid. Those greens are very fast, very quick, very undulating. And I think I three putted the first hole I was on. So there went that goal. But I'm still working on it. So the goal for the other 11 months, I'm going to be meeting that goal in the next 6 weeks because there are no golf courses open around here. So I'm putting at home, and I never three putt at home. I just, you know, I give it to myself on the second putt. So that's good. I say that's good. Pick it up. That's good. Pick it up. Those who don't play golf have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about. All right. I want to take a look at this section of Scripture because it does something. There is a theme that runs through Paul's thought, his process. One of the things to remember, and I went through an introduction on Ephesians a couple of weeks ago. I won't bother with that again because our time is limited this morning. But one thing I want to put in context for you to remember as we read this, and Paul, of course, is a guy who loves commas and semicolons. I mean, this whole section, by the way, this is one sentence. This whole thing is one sentence. And the next section is one sentence. This paragraph is two sentences long, and it takes forever. We're only doing the first paragraph. It takes forever to get through. Now, Paul picked a theme as he started this book to introduce Christians, to remind them of where they're at. At the introduction of the letter, he's bringing you to the introduction of your relationship with Christ. And he's reminding you of something, and that is this, that you are in Him. You are in Him. And the way to think about being in Him is to think about the fact that you're in this room. Well, as long as you're in this room, everything that's going on outside the room is not going to impact you. There could be a storm, there could be a rain, there could be sleet, there could be lightning and thunder, but as long as you're in here, you're protected from all of that. Now, not only are you protected from the things that are on the outside, but as long as you're in this room, then you would gain all the benefits that come from being in this place. You might maybe even more accurately think about it as being in your house. In your house, there's a bedroom, there's a kitchen, there's a living room, there's a dining room, there's a refrigerator. You have the access to all of the things that that house has to offer while you're in the house. Right? And if you're in Him, then available to you are all of these spiritual blessings in heavenly places that Christ has provided for us. And the one thing about background that I will share with you as we meditate on this morning is just take a stroll through this sentence of Paul's, this one sentence that'll take us all morning to go through, is that Paul wrote this thinking of himself in Christ while in fact he was in a dungeon. How many have ever been to Rome? Has anyone here ever been to Rome? I've been there. While you were there, did you go on the tour and go visit Paul's dungeon? How many have been in Paul's dungeon? The dungeon, the prison cell that they believe Paul was imprisoned in. It is smaller than a bathroom, dark, dank. It's a prison. It's down in a hole. And while Paul is down in that hole, in that kind of environment, living with the rats, living with maybe a little oil lamp for the only source of light. There's no windows. While Paul is down there, he has a person there. He's fairly blind. He doesn't see very well. So undoubtedly, this letter was dictated to someone who wrote it for him. And there he's there explaining how we are the recipients of all of these spiritual blessings in Christ while he is in a prison cell. Now you take that into our lives, and it seems to me that the slightest inconvenience, the slightest interruption, the slightest bit of pain, the slightest bit of anything that in any way detracts us or deters us from the perfection that we think we want our life to be, suddenly destroys our sense of relationship and commitment and advancement in Christ. It's amazing how quickly Christians get knocked off the track. But when I think about how Paul was writing this letter about being in Him and describes all through this glorious language our relationship with Him while he was locked in a prison cell, in a dungeon, eating crumbs, eating bread, eating stale bread with the rats. And in his imagination, he's describing this glory and this wonder which you and I have the privilege of having access to with every spiritual blessing in Him. Hallelujah. So whatever kind of environment you find yourself in physically, remember, it doesn't even begin to compare to the environment in which Paul found himself. And while he was in that environment, he wrote and began to praise and glorify God about how joyously filled with the blessings he is, because blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, having chosen us. He selected you, having chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world. Think of Paul writing those words, dictating those words, while he's in a prison cell with rats illuminated by a little oil lamp. It changes the way we think about things, isn't it? Makes me very grateful for where we're at and where we find ourselves. But it also wants me to be able to capture this essence of the glory of God that Paul saw in his vision. So I want to just stroll through this and look at the blessings that belong to us in Him. Blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Our Heavenly Father does not withhold any spiritual blessing from His adopted children. But understand this, that He's blessed us in heavenly places with every spiritual blessing. What kind of blessing did He bless us with? Say it again. Say it out loud. With spiritual blessings. Now, there existed in Paul's day, as there exists in our day, a doctrine in the Church of Jesus Christ that says, that would like to replace this word spiritual with physical. There is this mentality in us, in our humanity, that somehow once we give ourselves to Christ, that suddenly life is supposed to become a bed of roses. That nothing should ever go wrong or happen to us that in any way would destroy this idyllic idea that God wants to bless me and make me happy, that God is kind of like my divine vending machine in the sky, that when I pray and put in the exact change and pull the lever, I'm going to get anything I want from Him. But Paul did not say that. See, he addressed that in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He said, some people are teaching that godliness is a means to having great gain. But he said, let me tell you something. Godliness in itself is the gain. It's not a means to a gain. There is that understanding that somehow God deserve or God somehow owes to give us everything that we want and need in life. But that is not the kind of blessing that Paul is going to recite to us now. A list of spiritual blessings that we have in Him. Now that's not to say that there is not the hope of some kind of physical advancement that God has for us. Healings, blessings, financial provisions. Yes, all those things are there. But it's not a given. It's only according to His purpose, which He has purposed for us before the foundation of the world. And I want to share and explain that to you. Because how many of you have ever prayed a prayer that God didn't answer to you, from your point of view? How many have asked for a healing that you didn't get? The salvation of a loved one that you say, well, did that ever happen? Say, well, where was God when I needed Him? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. There's no guarantee. People say, well, by His stripes I am healed. I believe that. And I believe that I can pray and ask God to penetrate the unseen realm and get down here in my seen world and ask Him to do that. But it doesn't always happen. He chooses not to do that sometimes. That should not embitter me. I talked to a man, tried to talk to him about becoming a Christian. He said, I'm never going to become a Christian. I said, why is that? Because when I was a kid and my grandfather got sick, I prayed that God would heal my grandfather and he died. And God did not hear my prayers. And I decided I'm never going to serve, I'm never going to respond to Him again. I said, well, at least you believe in Him. Well, what do you mean you believe in Him? Well, you're bitter against Him. So that's a step in the right direction. You believe that He exists enough for you to be bitter. So maybe you'd think about the fact that He had a higher purpose for your grandfather than what the answer to your prayer was. You see what I'm saying? But we do the same thing as believers today. We don't have to be little kids. We pray that something's going to happen. It doesn't happen. We get kind of mad at God. But that's not the kind of blessing. That's not the kind of relationship Paul's going to describe here. Are you ready for this? I want to show you a list of 10 blessings that are ours. Spiritual blessings that are ours in the Spirit, in heavenly places, in Christ, that you possess, that you have access to because you're in God's house. Here they are. Number one, we've been chosen. You were selected. You've been chosen. Kind of like the, I don't know if you ever, what was the Toy Story cartoon where the guy, the Woody, got caught in this machine with all the little funny aliens, and the machine came down and picked one of the little fuzzy floorballs up and dropped him, and you have been chosen. You've been chosen. You were chosen to fall into the hands of that little kid who's going to tear you to shreds. You have been chosen. And they all said, he's the chosen one. So hilarious. Well, you've been chosen. It wasn't an accident where the little claw just fell down on you and grabbed you. You were chosen because God's sight fell upon you. And when He saw you, when He imagined you, He was so struck with love at that moment that it says He chose you before you were ever born for a destiny that He had selected for you to advance His purpose and His love in you. It's fun to be chosen. It's fun to be selected. It's fun to know that it wasn't just an accident. It just happened. Well, I just stumbled into knowing God. No, He selected and chose you. I used to say that I found God when I first got saved. I said, I found God. Then I started reading the Scriptures and I found out I didn't find Him at all. He found me. He chose me. He selected me. He came after me. He revealed His love to me until I finally bent and bowed to it. You've been chosen. That's a great blessing. You've been predestined to adoption as sons by His will. It was His will to adopt you. Those of you who have adopted children, or maybe you're a child who was adopted, you understand what it is. Yes, there is that pain to realize perhaps I was rejected by my natural parents. I never knew my mother, and my dad was never around. I was raised by my grandparents, basically adopted by them. And there's that emptiness inside that always says, was I really wanted? But God saw you and He said, yes, I do want you. I don't know if you've ever read Ezekiel chapter 16, but God says, describing His relationship with Israel, He says, I'm walking down the road and I looked there in the ditch. There you were, left within your birth sack of your mother, that your mother gave birth to you and threw you into the ditch. And there I saw you in your birth sack, in your blood. And I selected and I chose you and I took you up and I cleaned you up and I caused you to come into glory. That's God's heart for you. He sees us in our mess. And He said, I've selected you because I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. I want you to be my child. That's a spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. To have that assurance that you're wanted by Him. Another one is that we've been accepted in the Beloved. Teenagers especially understand this pressure, but we all do to a degree. Teenagers understand that when you go to school, you want to be accepted. Doesn't even mean you want to be necessarily accepted in the in-group or the in-crowd. But you don't want to be accepted. The opposite of acceptance is rejected. How many have ever been rejected? I kind of think about it as when I was in school, they do this very, very terrible thing. I think they still do it today. Is they pick two of the coolest kids in gym class. Two of the kids who really look good in their gym shorts. And if you're one of those that really looks good in your gym shorts, no, you don't have to raise your hand, because I don't look good in gym shorts, okay? And so, and plus, I wasn't very athletic. And you get these two guys who are like really cool, who are really awesome, and they're going to pick the teams that they're going to play against each other. So they're going to pick teams. I like it when they just number 1-2, 1-2, and then all the ones and twos split up. But in our school, they didn't do that. The coach, the guy who was the PE instructor, was also the coach of the football and basketball team. And so then he would pick his favorite stars from the two teams, and they would get to pick people to be on their team, instead of numbering off 1-2. And so you were waiting to be chosen. Anybody ever be one of those guys that chose? And I just want to forgive you right now. Just kidding. I don't know what it was, but I was always the last guy that got chosen. Anybody relate to that? Be the last guy chosen? It was like after we got all done, they would say, okay, I'll take him. It's like, okay, let's flip let's slip and the loser gets him. You know, that was kind of the way I got chosen on the teams. For somehow, I just didn't have that athletic ability. I didn't project the sense of, yeah, we want this guy on our team. I'm so grateful that when Jesus looked out, he didn't just choose, you know, the cool people. It says in Corinthians, Paul says, he didn't choose the noble and the great. He chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I'm here to proudly say I am one of the foolish things that God chose. Hallelujah. I have always wanted to be a confounded wise man, I admit. But more typically, I'm one of the foolish things that God chose to confound the wise. But there's something about being chosen, about being accepted in the Beloved. When you look around this place today, I want you to know something. Every person in this place, I hope, anyone that knows the name of Jesus Christ, that you are accepted. When I look at you, when you come and talk to me, you know that every person that calls me gets exactly the same response from me. I don't treat anybody any differently. You are accepted. You are loved. You belong here because you belong in Christ. Just take a minute and say to somebody, you're accepted in the Beloved. Go ahead and tell them. You are accepted. Maybe you came here today and you needed to hear that. You're accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted in the Beloved. Okay, we got to keep moving. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Let's just look at some more of these blessings. In Him we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins, according, by the way, I have this one memorized too. In Him we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins. I did have it memorized, but now I'm thinking about something else. According to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom. I love this. He made it to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, praise God. God has made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. And how is He going to do that? He's going to do it in Him. Here's some more things that He's blessed us with. He's blessed us with redemption through His blood. You've been saved. You've been rescued. Forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You have been forgiven. Have you ever been in a relationship where you needed to be forgiven of something and someone wouldn't forgive you? How many people have ever been unforgiven? Have you ever felt unforgiven? You know, I always say to people who are bitter against someone, they won't forgive someone. I'm never going to forgive that person for what they did. I could never forgive that. By the way, God never says that about you. He never says, I could never forgive that. But I always say to people who don't forgive and they want to be bitter, bitterness is when I take poison and wait for the other person to die. That's what bitterness is. It's when I take the poison and I wait for them to die. Because they're not going to die by my bitterness, I'm going to. Have you ever been forgiven and have been aware that you've offended someone and did something really wrong and been forgiven? How many can remember that feeling of being forgiven? That's all? Anybody else? Can you remember the feeling of Christ forgiving you? Forgiveness. It sweeps across the soul. It liberates you. It makes you rise up and just feel like you want to fly when you have that weight. That's one of the things you've been blessed with. You have been forgiven. And you've been made to know the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. Sometimes it's hard for people to believe that God's will is a mystery. You might have to figure it out. How many of you just instantaneously know God's will? I don't. And I have got to pray that God would reveal to me the mystery of His will. When I first met Joyce, I thought it was God's will for us to get married. But I prayed and prayed and prayed because I didn't want to make a mistake in that realm. I wanted to know His will. Praise God, I found His will. 35 years we're going to celebrate the summer of His will for my life. The mystery of His will. That's one of the blessings of being in Him. And then also the gathering together of all things. It seems like an odd blessing a little bit perhaps, but as the old hymn says, we're going to understand it better by and by. The gathering together of all things. How many of you have things in your spiritual walk with Christ that you don't understand? Just like 20 questions, and I'm just amazed. If I take, boy, praise God, I'm going to be. How many do understand everything in your life? Let's ask it that way, because I'm going to be referring all my counseling load to you, you who understand. I'm going to ask you again: how many people who have arms and hands? How many of you have ever faced something you don't understand in life? I'm going to tell you something. You're going to understand it later when God gathers all things to Himself and reveals that to you. I guess the second question is, if you have something that you don't understand in Christ, how many of you have given rise to doubt in your life because of it? Yeah. Me too. That's where God wants us to surrender those things to Him. One of the blessings about being in His house is knowing that I'm safe in His house even when I don't understand. He is going to gather all things to Himself, and at that time, He'll reveal them to us. As Paul said, even then we shall be known even as we are known, and we'll know and we'll understand. That's one of the blessings of being in Him. These are spiritual blessings, because a spiritual blessing isn't always translated into physical, by the way. There's something about that spiritual blessing. In Him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. One of the blessings is an inheritance according to the purpose of His will. Now, is anyone in here, this is 20 questions again, I have all these questions. Have you ever been named in someone's will? How many people have been named in someone's will and been at a will reading where they read the will? One of the things I noticed when my dad's will was read, and that's the only will that I've ever been named in. So if any of you want to put, that's Paul, P-A-U-L-W-I, just, you know. But I've only ever been named in one person's will, that's my dad's will. And when we read the will, and I actually read it, my two sisters and I read the will, there was nothing to inherit except a garage full of tools, which we went and, you know, I got the response, since I inherited them, I got the responsibility of cleaning them out and selling them, and that was about it. But I was named in the will. One of the things I noticed about the fact, before I could lay claim to the things that I was going to inherit, is the one who wrote the will had to, what had to happen before I got to inherit? He had to die. I didn't get to inherit anything until he died, even though I was named in the will. Well, see, when Christ died, everything God purposed for you before the foundation of the world suddenly became available to you. Now the enforcement of your inheritance, the enacting upon it, the enjoying of it, you can now have, because you have an inheritance in Christ. And I love that what she shared today about understanding, first of all, the day we're born, and then why we were born. Because why we were born is that inheritance. That you understand why you're on this planet. The last two things are, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The seal was God's mark of ownership, authority, and power. He sealed upon you. Now, once there's a seal, a mark upon you, think about it as the mark of Cain, only the opposite. When Cain said, wait a minute, God, if you curse me this way, everywhere I go, people are going to kill me because they know that I've been cursed by you. You know, because they know I'm on the run. And God said, okay, I'm going to put a mark on you, Cain. I don't know what he did, if he struck him with lightning or what did he put, some kind of mark, a physical mark on Cain, so it was visible, that it could be seen. And he said, anyone who sees that mark and kills you, I'm going to judge, because I want you to be judged by living on this planet outside of my presence. That's your judgment for the murder. Well, at the same way, God has put a seal or a mark upon you, not a seal of judgment, but a seal of acceptance. And you know what that seal is? It's the person of the Holy Spirit. The seal of the Holy Spirit of promise. I'll tell you one thing about the Holy Spirit, and I don't have time to elaborate that seal today, but I'll tell you one thing about that seal. Without the Holy Spirit, you would not know Jesus. You could not know Jesus. Jesus said, when He comes, He will reveal me to you. Now here's the thing about having that seal. In the same way that everywhere Cain went and had that mark upon him, that negative thing, so it is everywhere you go and everything you do, that mark is on you. The mark of the Holy Spirit. So before you make that decision to participate in that activity, before you make that decision to expose yourself to that knowledge or that picture or that thing that you want to expose yourself to, before you do that, remember something. There's a mark on you. And whatever you expose yourself to, you're exposing the Holy Spirit to in you. Whatever you participate in, you're bringing the Holy Spirit to participate in that as well. You've been sealed. You've been sealed as a mark of ownership by the Holy Spirit according to His will. And you can no longer participate in things in impunity anymore. And I remember the first time I bought a car from Scott. I bought a new car from Scott. And I hadn't had it very long. Scott's remembered, Paul, how can you remember through all those cars that you bought? Remember the first one? I can remember after I bought that car, because I love to keep my cars polished up, although you wouldn't know it today, it's very dirty. Try to keep them all as good as I can, in good a shape as I can. And I can remember the first scratch I got on the first new car I ever got. Anybody ever had that happen? When you get a new car, you don't want to get any scratches on it. You know, and just praise God that it wasn't Joyce or Tim or any of the girls that put the scratch on it. You know, that would be their, they'd be praising God over that. Because I've been, you know, what? You scratched my car? Guys, you wouldn't do that, right? To your wives? No. But I remember that first scratch. And I said, God, I'm so, I got a scratch on my car. You know what the Lord said to me in my heart? Paul, that's my mark of ownership. That's my car. But Lord, it's like a scar. He said, you know, there's scars on my body, the mark of my ownership. And there's scars on your life that are the mark of your ownership, my ownership of you. He put a mark on you, and you do not belong to yourself any longer. That's part of being in Him. And finally, all of these things are to the praise of His glory. Now, when Paul said we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, he lists 10 of them, but that's not all of them. There's many more. Would you stand together with me? There's many more blessings by which we have been blessed in Him. Just bow your heads with me for a second. Lord Jesus, we recognize that You chose us out of all humanity. That there is for each and every one of us a destiny, a purpose, a plan. That You, by Your will, predestined us to, should we choose to come underneath that destiny. That is, in fact, the inheritance that the Holy Spirit wants to bring our lives into. And the will has been read. The death has taken place, and the will has been read. And we're named in Your will as sons. And it's the Holy Spirit, that seal, that seeks to enforce Your will, Your inheritance in our lives, the empowerment of it. Lord, we're here this morning to confess that many times and in many ways, we do not abide in You as we should. That we step outside of the house and expose ourselves to all the dangers that the world has. For that, Lord, we want to ask You to forgive us. If you are in that place today, slip up your hand and say, Jesus, forgive me for that. Let me receive that blessing of forgiveness anew. And that my heart in one way or another has been defiled by this world. Cleanse me right now, Jesus. Cleanse me right now, Jesus. Just tell Him, just cleanse me right now, Lord. Let me experience that blessing, that part of my inheritance today. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I surrender my heart and my life to the sealing of Your Holy Spirit for the purpose of finding the fulfillment of Your design for my life. If that's your prayer, would you just slip up your hand right now? Slip up your hand and say, yes, Lord, that's my heart. That's my prayer, God. That I might discover and find and fulfill all of Your purpose for my life. Everything that You have designed for me, God, I want to discover and fulfill. I'm in You, Christ. I'm in you, and all the things that you've designed for me, I surrender to in the name of Jesus Christ. All the things that you've designed, I surrender to in the name of Jesus Christ. This world has nothing for me. Just sing those words. This world has nothing for me. This world. This world has nothing for me. This world. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. Was that your confession? World has nothing for me. Make it your confession this morning. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Tell me, where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. Follow you. This world has nothing for me. Jesus, it's my intent to experience and enact all those things that you set aside for me when you chose me before the foundation of the world. To the praise of the glory of your grace, Lord. To the good pleasure of your will, which you purposed in yourself. And I surrender to this morning, Jesus. Empower me, Lord, by your Spirit. Seal me, Lord, with the power of your Spirit to fulfill all that you've designed for my life. If you desire the Holy Spirit to move in you in even greater power, to enforce God's will in your life, just lift up your hands and say, yes, Lord. I surrender to that right now, Jesus. The great seal of the Holy Spirit upon my life. Mark me, God. Mark me, God. Mark me, God, by your Spirit. The mark of ownership and authority and power in my life. Mark me by your Spirit as I leave this place. Holy Spirit, hover over my life. Consume my life, Jesus, in your name. Let it be, Jesus, by the power of your Spirit. Because I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Tell me where else, can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me, Lord, won't you capture me with grace? I will follow you. Hallelujah. I will follow you, Jesus. I will follow. That's my promise today, Lord, to walk in all of your ways. I will follow you. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you today. Don't forget about our prayer time tonight. If you want to be a part of that youth ministry, talking about relationships, come for that as well. God bless you. Have a great day in Jesus.
If you could grab a chair and move it to the wall, that will help us clean up. Grab a chair and move it to the wall. Thank you.